call the meeting. Where's my chief sheet? Right here. Chief sheet. Call the meeting to order at 5:29. If anybody comes in, we'll give an opportunity to speak if they wish to. Roll call.
Roll call has been taken. Let the record reflect all members are present with the exception of Chair Keys and District Water Engineer Shirley.
Okay, and I will be acting chair while he's away. So we go to public comment. I already mentioned that draft meeting minutes. I looked at them. They looked good to me. I don't know if you need a second, but they're good. Presentation, water, wastewater.
We have no general update, so we can go to discussion items. We would like to recommend that we adjust the order of the discussion items and go with Willow Lake a pipe repair, and then move item number one to the very bottom, if there's still time.
That sounds great.
So we'll start with...
So, on the pipe repair project, it's been going on for a while, and we're have substandard fire protection right now in that area because the pipeline is out of service. People have water pressure, but not adequate fire protection. I brought that piece in that I mentioned that Aaron had taken over the corrosion engineer to look at. And as I mentioned, the thickness has been reduced at the corrosion pit area by about 38%. So we're assuming that there's other corrosion going on in the pipeline, which is why the pipeline has failed. And that pipeline is buried under about 4 feet of mud in the bottom of the lake. And there really isn't anything, like no contractor was digging in the area that we know of. Nothing structural or physical or impact that we feel would have damaged the pipe. So because of this corrosion that we see, and because of what we see in the coating, and that there was no body protection on the pipe, is why we feel that corrosion is the reason why the pipe failed. So we looked at a couple of different options, one of which is to get a diver down there and excavate to get down under the water into the mud and into the pipe, and then he would have to peel off that coating. If you can see at the very bottom of this pipe, we had to chip away at this half inch thick.
It's like roof tar.
Yeah, roof tar coating, basically asphalt coating. I'll turn it this way, you can see it better here. So they were able to chip this all the way around the pipe about this long to get to this, and then clean this up, and then put a repair clamp on it. All this under water. That's if we found the break being in a straight section of pipe. If the break occurred at a bend, because the pipe goes down the slope and then bends, we couldn't do the repair clamp option. And that, if that was successful, I think what do we have in the staff report? About a $60,000 repair.
60?
60. Yeah, $60,000 repair. Now, when they got down there, if they saw that the break was at the bend, we're in the hole $20,000 for them just to do that. Even if they do repair it, put the clamp on, and we can get back in service, because it's corrosion now, where else is there corrosion occurring in the pipe? Are we just putting a band-aid on something that's going to break another year from now? So we'd rather not do that option. The other option that we have is horizontal directional drilling, where you just basically, I included a figure that Justin got us from a contractor, that you basically pull a whole new pipe. You should like your last, the second to last page.
This is the last page.
There you go. Where you basically just pull a whole new pipe under the ground and up the other side, and you've got a brand new pipe. The complications with that is that that's going to require a special permit from Fish and Wildlife and perhaps even Army Corps of Engineers, which could take a long time. And I did speak with Gregory Harris about that because he's had experience with permits from the Army Corps. Either they don't respond or they don't respond the way you want them to respond. It could be a headache. But definitely a Fish and Wildlife permit we have to get. That's not much of a problem. That takes about 6 to 8 months to get. I've gotten those before, not a big deal. But because of the Army Corps, it's a more complicated project. The other option is to just go in and just line the inside of the pipe. They make a special liner, they pull it through the inside of the pipe, they expand it, and they have like an epoxy that goes in there as well. And they put two flanges on the end that you can bolt up the old pipe for the new pipe. And that gets you basically the equivalent of a brand new C900 PVC pipe inside your pipe that's existing. The rest of that pipe could corrode all the way. It doesn't matter. The liner is rigid and strong, just like a PVC pipe. So that's actually the option. That's about a $210,000 project. And that's the option that was considered. Say again?
How much was that?
$210,000 for that. And that would not require any efficient game permit because we're not disturbing any earth underneath the lake or possibly doing that. CEQA on that would be very simple, probably just an exemption, and we could start working on it a lot sooner than the other projects.
So it will restrict the flow a little bit, but...
Actually, probably the same because you saw the lining in there is rough. The smooth liner, because it's smooth, the friction factor is lower. So Justin and I were talking, and he said, you know what, Mike? Even though we're juicing the diameter by paper thickness, or not paper thickness, but, you know, maybe... How thick is that liner going to be? Say, 1/4 inch or 3/8 of an inch? The smoothness should make up for that. And it's only, you know, a 150-foot long or a 200-foot long run of pipe so that the losses won't be very much.
So the 210 is a firm or a good quote? I shouldn't say firm, good quote?
The quote that we got from them, from the subcontractor for the lining, was about $110,000. And then I put in about $40,000 for cleaning the inside of the pipe, doing a patch job on the inside of the pipe where the break is, and then for JW to dig the holes on either side to be able to do the tie-ins for the old pipe to the new pipe, and in fact, we're going to replace one or two valves while we're at it, because we Aaron found the ones that you can buy pretty good. As long as we got it open, let's go ahead and replace that. So that's what that budget is for.
So you're looking to line only the portion that's underwater?
We would probably go from close to the street to on Willow Lake Court to Laguna, the street there, from street to street.
Okay, and the corrosion is really under the water and under the mud.
Where this came from, the pipe that came up the slope, that's where that came from for corrosion. But Aaron, I'll let you speak about where you observed the water actually bubbling up in the lake.
The water that was boiling out of the pipe exposing itself was probably about 20 feet from the shore edge.
Okay.
So it's not quite, it's about 1/3 of the way of the Bowl Lake between the two points.
Okay. So are these costs prevailing wage for the work?
Yes, that's
it's large enough to be prevailing wage.
What's that?
It's large enough to be prevailing wage.
Right. That's all projects like this in prevailing wage. Yeah, absolutely.
So what we're looking for, so this is staff's recommendation.
Yeah.
So what we would like to do is based on the recommendation of the Water and Wastewater Committee, get all the scope of work together, bring it before the board, and get the work authorized.
Yeah, I agree.
And these are just construction costs.
I think you got to show the other option, the one is pulling the pipe, but I would think permits would be easier because you're replacing the pipe.
Well, the
I know sometimes game doesn't, you know, Fish and Game doesn't care, but...
No, Fish and Game, I spoke to Fish and Game, and they said, yes, definitely, you will need a stream bed, lake and stream bed operation permit. You know, what that means is the CEQA on it would be more complicated. I'll have to hire a biologist.
Sure.
Because they're going to want to know, is there a pond turtle in that lake?
Yes.
Probably is.
Yeah. I don't mean we're going down that path.
No, I'm just saying it's a
when
more...
When you bring it to the board... Prepared to talk about both why you settled on this one.
Yes, absolutely.
But let's finish the dollar amount. You said 110 was a quote. 40,000 you've added on, that's 150.
Right, and then I added on 50,000 for JW to dig the pits on either side to do the tie-ins and replace the valves. And then I added $10,000 for things like bonding, insurance, and other miscellaneous items.
Okay, perfect. What would be the time frame?
Time frame for something like that, we could probably get going on that within about, say, depending if we can do sole source or if we have to get RFPs from other potential vendors.
It's not considered an emergency at this point, so we have to go out to RFP.
Yeah, and I only know one contractor that can do the lining right now. There may be others, so I'll have to research that a little bit.
Okay. What's the time frame for the operation, the fix?
Right, so that, if we went with the lining, assuming having to go with RFP, finding all of those, probably about, 4 months to come back to the board.
Okay.
With saying this is the full scope, the contractor. We went out to bid, or got RFPs, proposals, and here's what we got back. We may only get one proposal back, I don't know, but at least we would have gone out and solicited proposals.
And I'm not looking at the whole process, I'm talking just the repair work once you start to do the repair.
Once we start to dig the tits, get in there? Oh, that'll probably take, if we're going to pave back or put back concrete, I would say the whole process maybe 3 weeks or so.
Okay, good, good. And we have we degraded anybody's service at all?
No.
No? And that's the way it's going to go until we get it done, unless something else goes. I mean, we're good. Residents don't know anything's happening.
I just spoke with the resident on Laguna. He knows that something's going to be happening this way, but both services are connected just fine.
Good. Good.
Just to clarify, we would go to the board like we did here and say, you know, we want direction to go out to get RFPs and move forward with this.
Yeah.
Then we would come back with the RFP again to the board.
For the award, for who we let the board know.
We're as bad as getting permits sometimes.
I'm sorry?
We're as bad as getting permits sometimes.
Oh, no.
We don't need to be.
One quick question. So that pipe came from somewhere.
Okay, what?
That pipe came from somewhere, right?
Came from somewhere, so yes.
Right now, there's no connection.
Sorry?
There is.
We put a sleeve in.
Oh, you put a sleeve in?
Yeah, we coupled the back.
Right. Okay, so there's not a degradation of fire service right now?
There is. That's what I said in the beginning. We have a degradation of fire service right now. It's the only degradation.
And that will stay that way until it's repaired.
That's correct.
All right. Okay, so there was a time consideration, the impact is not the water service, but the fire service to the residents.
Right.
There's a degradation, but it doesn't fall below the standard, is my understanding, and that's why it's not an emergency.
Well, the only thing I'm thinking of, and to expedite a bit, even though it's not an emergency yet, is to, if we have a fairly good quote, we can say not to exceed a certain cost if we know that we're within that ballpark, and then only come back if it exceeds that, and do one shot set of two board meetings. They can think about that.
That's a good suggestion. If the board's willing to do that, that would be a lot quicker for us.
Well, I know they know the importance of this, I suspect they'll consider that at the very least. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which board meeting are we talking about doing this at?
It could be as early as the next board meeting.
Sure.
If you have everything prepared to make a presentation.
Yeah, again. I could do that.
And then I would give a not to exceed amount. Mm-hmm. And does this price also include preparation of the RFP?
No, this is only all the construction and bonding and insurance and JW, things like that. So no, it doesn't include staff costs or Justin.
So I would find out what Justin's cost is to prepare the RFP and make that part of the project cost.
Okay. Yeah, this is only construction.
Okay, then we move on to item E3.
The next board meeting is September 17th. That's not next month.
Did I say next month?
No.
Oh, I asked.
Second one.
He said next meeting.
Oh, it's next meeting.
Oh,
17th.
Could we do the first of November?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. What? We'll bring this back to the board on the first meeting in November.
Can you make it by the 16th?
Mike and I will talk about it.
Yeah. Does that save you a couple, 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Right, okay. We can talk.
Yep.
And E3?
E3, we will turn over to Gregory.
Okay, so I have a update to the master plan on the education project. There's two elements. One is the overall project schedule, the other is there were some questions that came around on plan one a couple days ago about the cost.
There's questions coming up every day.
All right, so I brought in some additional information about plan one, but before I get back to this build details, we'll find out all the details. Before we do that, just to give an updated schedule. They have prepared a final sort of cost table. They did call me today and wanted to make a small revision to that table email.
Oh, okay.
this committee doesn't meet again until the November meeting, unless we have a special meeting.
I think if you give the presentation in there, it's not absolutely required to come back. It would be nice, but absolutely not required. But do I hear here tonight or the night we're going to look? You have a deadline today.
Well,
can we put that off the meeting until the 16th, the next meeting?
Right, yeah. See, we didn't get it done until late, until Monday, so it was too late to go to work after. And so it's not on tonight's agenda to go over overall costs for
to make a decision
for the whole master plan. What's on tonight's agenda is just plan one. So tonight's agenda is just plan one. Like, what are we going to do about plan one?
Okay, so just for clarity, it's only in the master plan. We're still looking at option one or two for the DM.
Correct. It's tonight. Okay. We can't finish the master
plan. Combine the two.
Right. We can't finish the master plan or the cost until we decide about plan one.
Right.
Okay, so if I hear correctly, then we're going to talk about plan one today in here. Talk about plan one tonight for the. So it should be a vote tonight, I think, to decide whether we're keeping it or not keeping it, or moving it or not moving it, I'll say. And then with that information, I'll plug that, whatever that decision is, into the master plan final thoughts, and I'll bring it back on the 16th. That work, right? That sounds like a plan.
The other thing we need to know in the master plan is because we're going to have to bond to some extent to pay for DMAC. Regardless of the decision, there will be some bond in some manner or fashion.
Yeah.
And obviously there's things that are going to be contained in the master plan that are unrelated to DMAC but need to be part of our wastewater overall improvement, correct?
Yes.
So we need to budget. We need to understand when those things need to come true.
Yes.
You know, whether they're immediate, whether that can be paid through the process of a rate study, through the rate return, through a rate study, or whether we're going to have a bond that includes those items as well.
Correct. So the table I went over with Dina, we've broken down to the dates, and the ones that are lower priority, we shove them off to the side and say eventually the determined date, you know, things like that. So we try to. Try to consolidate those costs and push them left and right. But as I said, the two projects that have to be done are whatever we're going to do plan one, D9, and then there's a couple other ones that have to be done, and they're in that mix. And that dollar is going to give a preliminary look to Dina already, and we're just going to make this minor update. And then, you know, staff will have those numbers to chew on for essentially the next 2 weeks while we prepare for the board meeting. On the 16th, or we can hold it, whichever, or we can bring it back. But at the moment, that was the plan, is we go over those tables internally, make sure that we're clear about what's in this year, what's in that year, that kind of thing. And then we present the sort of what is the project, recommended project, to the board on the 16th. That's a way, if you want to have that way for our committee first, if they want to see it first. Or not.
An answer?
So that's just the overall schedule of what we're trying to do. And of course, you know, if they finish the numbers and wrap the text up to match the numbers, you know, kind of things, right? Well, we need numbers, we need people to make decisions about what this is going to cost. So that's what we're focusing on right now. And then we'll be wrapping the plan shortly. And in fact, they're already wrapping it up shortly. That's the schedule on the master plan. And then the next thing was we had some questions about what the cost of plant one is and why is it so expensive. So I brought in some handouts for.
Is this a handout?
I'm not sure. I've seen it.
Do you see?
Oh, I have seen it.
Yes, it is.
Okay. I haven't seen this to know whether they answered the question.
Oh, okay. I got an email earlier.
You should actually put reservations because I've seen two or three. In fact, the one we were working today.
You are seeing this as a simple thing.
Yeah.
But I've seen numerous different numbers, and they're close, but they're different.
Yeah, so.
It's confusing.
We have done a few rounding things here and there, depending on when I provide information to you, so
yes.
I'll apologize on that. And even this is slightly rounded, I'll say. You know, the number is slightly rounded, but. certain amount of money we have to spend. If we keep plant one where it's at, we're going to have to spend about $4 million. To move everything from plant one to plant two, to decommission over there and stuff, it's about $14 million. So it's about $10 million, but capital cost difference, project cost difference. Now, that includes engineering and all that stuff. That's a total cost difference. It's not just construction costs. It's a total cost difference. It has to continue to see things like that. So then there was questions about, well, okay, what makes up that $14 million? It seems like a lot. You know, it seems like a lot. So let's, if you want to start, we'll talk
about it. No, I think this is a good picture right here.
This table. There's more detail than this.
Yes.
Okay, but I'm like, let's start with just generic category. Mike helped me put this together. I went over some of the detail with Mike, and he kind of helped put this together. At the moment, there's a line item to beef up the force main between plant 1 and plant 2, $350,000, because all the wastewater flows got to go to plant 2 now.
So you only need that if you move to plant 2?
Yeah, these are all the cost of moving. That's what this is. So I previously went over the rehab costs. I didn't bring those today. It's like the rehab, the 4 million number. If we keep plant 1, the 4 million number. I have the detail here if you want to do that.
No,
I want to go back
no,
now. This is just, what's the cost of moving? Okay.
Now that has to be a 14-inch force main.
Well, that's what they came up with in the master plan. You know, one of the things that when we get into detailed design, you know, maybe we change the pipe size a little bit or some things like that. But you know, at the master plan level, this was their analysis.
Okay. So for the sake of, I'm going to ask you on each one of these items. Is it something we absolutely need?
Yeah. At the moment, I'll answer on one of these items.
You're going to say the paper.
I'm going to say the. All right, now.
So we need that question answered, whether this is something that needs to be done along with the DNAC program.
So, okay.
And the DNAC program ties us in if we choose number two. It's because of the DNAC, the whole program.
We have to do DNAC. So we have to do DNAC no matter what.
Yes.
That's in our program.
Yes.
DNAC is, there's three oxidation ditches. Regardless of where they're physically located, there's three ditches. D9 goes wherever those dishes are.
Understood.
Yeah. So the D9 is 7.8 million.
Well, D9 is about 1.25 million, right? Each.
No.
If I read right, because you got 2.5 million to add two, so I'm just taking.
Hold on. You're talking about denitrification.
The ditch.
Oh, the ditch, the oxidation ditch.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're over a million per ditch.
No. There's three ditches. Our cost for D9 is 7.8 million.
Okay, so some of your documentation you have in here, and I want to drill down. You have a D-night ditch, I thought was 2.5 million. So I caught myself.
Okay.
All right, 7.5 million.
Yes.
For
7.8 million.
Got it.
For three ditches.
Got it.
Okay.
So you didn't answer the question on 14 inch.
That's what I was doing. That's clear. We currently have a 12-inch, 8-inch line there.
Yes.
From plant 1 to plant 2.
Right.
Are we replacing the 8 and 12 or just adding 14?
I think the plan was just adding 14.
So it'll be a 14, 12, and 8.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And the 8 doesn't do much for us. You know?
Yeah, sure.
Because you're in the 12 right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
But if we keep plant 1, refurbish it, we don't need to do this.
Right, yeah. So not, you don't have to do anything on this list if you keep plant 1 rigs. There's a separate list of things we have to do. It's not this list. I have that list here, but
okay.
It's not this list.
Okay, move on. That's good.
All right, so the master plan identified a new force main. They included $750,000 to sort of demolish some stuff over there, clean it up a little bit, not like maybe not develop already, but you know, clean up some of the stuff and demolish some structures over there. Okay.
And that does not necessarily have to be done in the
project. It does not. That's true.
You also have $111,000 to demolish existing abandoned facilities.
So in the items of work to keep plant water, there's a line item of about $100,000 because there's a whole bunch of junk over there. Bernie identified there's some junk over there. It's a couple structures that have been out of service for 20, 30 years.
This is the 111 is only if we keep it.
Yeah, the 111 is if you keep it.
But you showed that as not absolutely necessary on one of your
charts. Well, that, that's That's correct. I mean, you know, we're saying, yeah, you should, probably should if you're going to spend money over there. But yeah. I mean,
and
you
can still understand the right.
Yeah, right. You can still walk over there, yeah, and just look at an empty tank.
So potentially $750,000 could be just.
That's correct. Delayed. Yes. Okay. That's correct.
That means the property's of no use to anybody until we get that cleaned up, I'm going to assume.
Right. Okay. Well, it means it's got a ditch in it, that you got a broken ditch in it, or you got a car right there.
Okay.
The headworks expansion, so we need to expand the headworks of plant one, or plant two, to receive all the flow and beef it up because now we don't have a backup headworks anywhere. Okay. Two new clarifiers are $2.5 million.
And that's the one that I caught myself on. I was calling that D-night. So we've got five total now.
Two
of the other.
Yes.
We really only use two at a time, if I understand correctly.
Yeah.
So why do we need five over the other, just because that's what we had today? Two should do.
Yeah, so.
Adding two is what it, one.
Okay.
So instead of two, we could say that's the $1.25 million we could say if we could go without it.
Okay, so
I'm not the one to make that call.
All right, so the answer. The first thing is, there's many times I've seen these three clarifiers. All right, we're using three or two.
Right? We use three all the time.
Use three all the time.
Just okay.
All right, so we use three all the time right now, and we get better selling. Okay, we always have to count for one clarifier of service we do design. Okay, so with today's flows and today's loads, we can get by three clarifiers and one backup clarifier. I'll say. But the master plan is for designing flows, build out the community, design loads, and stuff like that. And so it's considering that you're going to need four clarifiers in service under the peak loading conditions. And you still need a backup clarifier.
And that's the build out of 19,000.
Correct.
Population.
Yes.
And we're under where we are built to now. So we're going to consume that space and more. We're going up another 3,000 people.
Correct. Yeah, you're gonna add in flow and load as you add in.
Okay. Right? Okay.
So the master plan says you're gonna need four clarifiers.
Okay.
Alright, and you need a backup clarifier. Right. So that's the fifth one. New activated sludge pump station. That's needed to manage everything around the clarifiers that you're gonna add. And then you have site piping to hook everything up over there. There's some miscellaneous improvements. Miscellaneous on plant one. I forget what the 280 is. I can pull the detail on the 280. But I think it was some cleanup items at plant one, like the headworks to connect the new force main, some things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a contingency because it's a planning level estimate, right? We didn't go design this. You know, they mapped Santec, who put this together. You know, went back and said, okay, we know what plants cost, we know what clarifiers cost, we know what the big stuff costs, and then we're going to have some other miscellaneous things in there. And then you get your administration and engineering. That is design, geotechnical, it's construction management when you build it, you know, and all your soft costs, your staff costs, stuff like that. Okay? So that is, a conservative $13.8 million. However, in a project of this complexity, you know, it sounds really simple. Just don't do this and, you know, this here. But this is not a simple thing. So I'm reluctant to say we can do it for less.
So I got it. And I've wrestled with this just thinking through it because there's a logical side of me that says I think this seems like a logical thing, taking money out of the equation. What I see, though, is that I saw 15% contingency on the first one, then I see 25 now, and I've actually earned 35 and more. That would tell me that you just don't know. And I believe that because you don't have a design.
Yeah, we haven't designed this, but we know what a clarifier costs. We know what a mock station
I got that. You know, you need a clarifier.
Yeah.
So some of these costs, some of the ones that I've asked you about is just the design nature of it.
Yeah.
Do you really need everything you need? I don't want to get a little more than we need right now. We'll get not just what we need, but we'll get
right.
The safety margin.
So when we get a design, we would design more than what we need. But we would design one oxidation dish, two clarifiers, and new headworks. That's what we're going. You know, we can evaluate, does that force main really need the flows come down? I mean, when we get into detailed design, there are things that maybe we can trim some costs. However, I don't know any of that, and I can't guarantee any of that. You know, when you make this, I don't want to trim.
It's obvious you don't know.
What I don't want to do is tell you a number, and you guys think, oh, okay, I can live with that, and then I come back 2 years from now, we're in construction, you get the bid, it's like, shit, you know, we didn't expect that, you know, kind of thing.
Well, it's going to happen now and then, so don't fear that.
Yeah.
Let's go through the process. It's good. I have one more.
Well, plus these numbers are for a facility that's going to have a 40-year life.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This
whereas,
is the new plant. This is the new plant.
Right.
Whereas plant one was $4 million to upgrade plant one.
Yeah.
That's basically going to be...
See, but I combine. I understand the $4 million. We keep saying that, but it's $6 million because we've got it. I'm including D-Night in every conversation I have in my head.
Yeah.
So okay. If I take D-Night, I understand the separation.
Yeah, take out D-Night because these numbers are not... These numbers you went over.
But you're going to put $6 million into this. So for the last 3 years, here's where I'm struggling to. Mm-hmm. The last 3 years, the plant that we've got right now has been just exercised.
Correct.
And I'll tell you know more than I do, so this, my statement, my fear may be totally unwarranted, but can it run full capacity on a moment's notice? Can we fire that up tomorrow if something happened to the plant too?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. But it will take some time to get all the biology going and
exactly what I was going to track. You've right. got the bugs, you're moving.
Exactly.
And that's not going to happen overnight.
Right.
Okay.
So how long do you think, once we say we need to start it up, how long do you think from we make the decision to start up plant one to where it's actually functioning and processing water to the way that we need it?
Well, it probably takes about 4 to 6 weeks to stabilize.
I believe it. I say it's 3 weeks from not buying it.
Okay. Right.
And that's good.
Okay.
But we've also got a 40-year-old operation, and 40 years is a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah.
Can't hit all everything we want. So, I'm just saying that because for 3 years we've been exercising it. Everybody calls it an insurance policy. And the problem with insurance is that if you don't get anything back, you've paid it all out, right? You didn't get your money's worth. But you need it. I understand that. But with plant one, we're going to put $6 million into it.
Yeah.
And in 2023, go back to offline in the same state we're in today.
Correct.
So we just handed over $6 million so we can get the other one done. I understand there's a cost to the business. And it's cheaper overall. But at the end of that, 2023, we've got less of a plant than plant two, and we're still operating two plants. So does that make sense? Well, in my mind, absolutely not. But now factor in money, and now you got to sit back and say, I got to look at this. But it's an opportunity that we face today to make this decision, and it's got to be well thought through.
Well,
and we're shortcutted because we've had 2 weeks and we gave us a deadline, but we don't have a design, and I don't have all the answers.
That's correct. And really, if you wanted more detailed costs than this, we'd have to, like, start doing a preliminary design on it.
I know.
And you'd have to, if you could,
we are all in the same boat.
To tell him what the soil conditions are like, the water conditions, all of that.
And I'm throwing these out because I'm throwing them out in the meeting tonight. You start to tear into plant one, 25%. I'd say that's more like 60% contingency, and which is a lesser dollar amount,
right.
So it's going to be less. But plant two, I would hope that to stay at about 15 or 20. That's
right.
Going to design, but I know you worked with us all these years. You're going to watch that design. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
You're not going to be too far off. I know it. So I fear that we're going to start in plant one to refurbish, and we're going to find more issues.
All right, that is possible.
That's a fear.
I'm not going to say that's not possible. Like, you know, we have a little bit of budget to repair cracks and repair fire.
And if I look at it on a scale,
it is a major deal.
I think it's more probable, but I just don't know to what degree. We're going to find things. We just don't know what we're going to find.
Yeah, I would agree on that.
So that scares me. And then that literally could slow you down for a little while. You know, if it's something really major. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's not a full force. We're 10 inch and 12 inch, 15 inch on the clarifier truck. So we got a difference in just the operation. And technically, I don't know what that means, but it sounds like you're not going to run as good as we are with the other plant when we switch over so we can do the D-Night.
That is true. Yeah, I mean,
so there's a lot of, there's just a lot of concerns with plan one. But there's even more concerns with plant two, so they're really caught between our spot and Morocco.
Yeah. Well, plant two is, it's just dollars. You know,
oh, I know it. I know
the,
it.
The construction's greenfield, the buyers are known, it's just dollars.
Yes.
Okay. Plant one, you know, is not an apples-to-apples comparison because we're not rebuilding plant one. We're just
putting it in, back in the shape so we can manage the
maintain and keep it going, yes. Right? And you will revisit the decision in 2018, because, you know, every time we have to invest major money in plant one, we have to stop and ask the question, is it worth putting money in plant one? The decision was made for you by the developer
20 years ago.
And if they had made a different decision, this decision today would be
And had they made a different decision, we'd already have this over here at Plant 2, we'd all be moving on.
Yes.
Okay. But that was developer-driven, and his only bottom line was cost, and the community can deal with it later. Right?
Yes.
The reality is, the oxidation ditch at Plant 1 is cracked in many, many places.
Yes.
All right? I can't fix those cracks.
Uh-huh.
I can paste over those cracks and try and pull the water in the basin and things, but I can't fix all the cracking in that basin.
Yes.
And no amount of magic for me is going to make that any better. And 20 years from now, it'll be worse. I will tell you that. Okay. It'll
10
be
years from now, it'll be worse.
You know, and so this isn't rebuilding. This is what's a reasonable standard for a backup plant, right? Because if you came to me and said, Greg, I want to run that plant 24/7 for the next 20 years, I would say that you're not putting enough money into it.
Yes.
Right? This is the standard to keep the plant as a backup. This is the least cost option.
Yes.
Okay. That's the least cost.
That's true.
You know, that's why, you know, that was, okay, what's our least cost option?
No, I understand.
Right?
But
that's the least cost option. I would not build new structures at Plant 1.
Yes.
Unless, you know, I wouldn't go build a new clarifier or a new oxidation to Plant 1.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where the future is over there. If you're going to build new structures, build them Plant 2. The only downside of that is we have a denite problem, right?
Yes.
You know, but, yeah, and that's going to be a new basin. When you move it later, if you move it later in 20 years, you're going to rebuild that denite basin in Plant 2. So you're going to spend the $2.5 million there, and you're going to throw it away in 20 years, and you're going to rebuild it at Plant 1. That's your, I'll say, throwaway dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything else you're band-aiding to keep it going is cost of doing business. But your true throwaway dollar is, I put a brand new basin over there, and it's not going to last. You know, the rest of the plant's going to fall around behind it. You'll have a good, strong basin. But nothing else around it.
Yes.
You know.
And the weakness of the plan is, as I said, you put in the $6 million into Plant 1,
mm-hmm.
and then 3 years later, you're going to have a Plant 2 that's less than what it would have been or could have been. Meaning the life isn't as long, because
right.
you could rotate product.
Right. If they had all the basins...
And instead of 20 or 40 years, you could take it 40 or 50 years.
If you have all the basins at Plant 2, it's easy to bring the basins online.
Yes.
It's extremely difficult to bring plant one online.
Yes. Yes.
And that's true.
Yes.
So you would do that, because, and that does allow you to do maintenance now.
Yes.
So far, what we've been doing for maintenance is when we built a new ditch, we took the one out and did maintenance on it. You know, doing that. And at some point, we'd say, okay, we need to touch up the rotors and structure 3 that we just built, or structure 2. We're going to put plant one online. We'll plan for it. We have to bring it online and run it so that we can do maintenance over here on 3, mm-hmm. or maintenance on 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just did maintenance on 2 in 2014 when we built 3. We did all 3, did maintenance on 2, right? And so we recoded, we did all the stuff, and took care of 2 for a while. Eventually, 3 is going to need that service, you know, and anyone that's running is going to need that service, you know. So we'll
yes.
really ditch the plant 1 to shove all the flow that way so that we can get in the ditch and do the maintenance on it. In terms of life of structures and wastewater, we disseminate, you know, we say that if you take care of that structure, it'll go 4 years. But the reality is, you're not taking that structure out ever if you take care of it. You know, I mean, it goes on forever. The district's going to go on forever. There's always going to be a town, hopefully. So, there's always going to be a town. There's always going to be a water demand. There's always going to be a sewer demand. And if you take care of your structures, you're there. It's just that Plant 1, the structures are not built the same standard as Plant 2. And they're in worse shape.
Well, Plant 1 also is a pump station, so they're fighting the Plant 2.
Right. That pump station is PPSL, though. I mean, we're okay with that pump station. We just rebuilt it, you know.
Yeah, but it's nonetheless, it's a cost.
Yeah.
Because you've got pumps.
Hell yeah.
Sort of a big cost.
Yeah.
So you've got gravity feed on Plant 2.
So,
just talk about the clarifier.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I mean, let's just say, Plant 1 is, what do you get from the developer in your life? That's what you have.
Mm-hmm.
Plant 2 is a little more organized. Still developer paid for, but we put our foot down on a couple of things
yes.
when we designed it. Okay.
Yes.
One of the things we asked right away was move Plant 1 to Plant 2, and now it's just botched. Okay, but it's a little different thing.
Good, okay. Thank you. This is good stuff.
Okay.
You answered my questions anyway.
Okay.
Have you got anything else on DMAC?
No, other than we're wrapping the master plan and I'm trying to get a schedule to bring forth the total project cost for you, but the plan one decision is such a big driver in there.
Yes.
That we need that decision before I can bring that forth and say, okay, everybody, here's your project.
Okay. And it may not be decided tonight, just so you know.
I understand.
Because we haven't even known that.
Of course. Okay. Yeah.
And you never know what's going to happen. I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay. But at any rate, we have to start making decisions, right?
Yes.
So it's like at some point, we've been kicking plant one around for probably 5 years. We've been kicking plant one around for 5 years. And playtime's over. We've got to make it.
And I like that picture.
The way it's funny.
Thank you, Gregory.
All right.
NPDES permit.
Okay, as an update on that, we did get the comments back from the regional board. They took the minor comments and ignored the major comments, which is not surprising. I mean, stuff like where like your math's wrong or your table reference is wrong, they fixed that. But stuff like you know, we want our dynamic to change, they want this change, they didn't do that. I'm waiting on comments from anybody else, but I basically have the same letter I drafted last time. I'll just delete out the ones that they took care of, and if you don't have that letter ready to go. And we're planning to bring that to the 2 week board meeting.
Yeah,
we're going to take a look at that.
The 16th.
And then have it in your agenda report by the end of next week.
Okay.
So.
They did remove the pre-treatment requirement.
Okay.
But they left the table in there.
Yeah.
And they don't want to miss that anymore.
So, I mean, it's the typical response. At least they did something. Right? I mean, sometimes they don't do anything. I've had it, but like, yes, for you. At any rate, that's going to come into your packet next Friday, and it'll go on the board meeting for you to finally see. But the comments from us are pretty similar to the ones I went over last time, and then our deadline is to do an alternative. You know, our only option at that point is we'll give our comments. They're going to ignore them, because they ignore everybody's comments. You know, if you want to hammer that, you got to go to the board meeting, and you got to protest it.
And is there anything that you see, staff sees that's so outrageous? If they don't take care of it, we need to be at that board meeting.
Well, the ammonia limit to me is problematic. You know, I mean, right now on paper, they're saying a 0.7 average, and we're calculating, okay, you can run 0.6 average. I mean, we're right up to, you know, this is the biological models, you know. And I mean, we're trying to be conservative about that, but my concern at the point is the ammonia limit. You know, right now we kill ammonia, we're less than 0.1. But we're all biased, our whole process is biased to ammonia. We don't have to do DNAC right now. As soon as we put DNAC back in, we got to unbias toward ammonia, and we got to start balancing walking a tightrope between denitrification and nitrification. So
maybe we're at the board.
I mean, I brought it up, and I think it's maybe worth going up and bringing it up at the board meeting and seeing what they say, you know.
Okay.
Put it on your calendars.
Okay, back up to number one, which is now number four, well number eight.
Okay. So, well eight. So, I've been talking to a lot of folks about where we can put well eight. We need about a half an acre of land for well eight because we'll have a treatment facility there as well. And I included in here a little sketch. You have what is the well over here? Has the old
well two.
So well two, just next door to us here, has all that oleander. That's a beautiful buffer that hides the facilities. So I kind of superimpose that here on this sketch that I prepared for you. But in any event, so we've been talking with the county about Spiker Park, and they recently presented a new condition where they would want the town to provide half an acre either at Spiker Park in addition or somewhere else to make up for the half acre loss at Spiker Park. So I'm kind of still in the discussions with them about Spiker Park. They would rather we go somewhere else, but Mike and I are still pushing them on Spiker Park. Pantages. So Pantages, the developer, I've spoken with them, and they actually apparently have a buyer for their project. Which is pretty exciting. They are going into the county very soon to submit their new tentative map,
And they said they would be available to meet with us, meaning Justin, myself, Aaron, to talk about where we could put a well at Pantages. And they're going to build a lake, and they're going to need water for that lake. I did a very similar project when I was working in Oakley with Shea Holmes on the Summer Lakes project there. Same thing. We put a well in, and the well helps feed the lake. And we charge them for it, charge them for the water.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be a very win-win project there. Well, what I want to talk to them about is, if they're slow to proceed on their project, can they go ahead and just give us the land that we need now so we can get going on our project before them, but yet recognizing that they may want to partner with us on our project, even not only give us the land for nothing, but participate in the cost of the project. Not going to guarantee anything yet, but those are the conversations I want to have with them. So I'm actually pretty excited about Pantages, just because they are moving and the county has come in and spoken to them about the project. Other sites we've looked at, the Old River Elementary School, they do have a detention basin there. That's the only area that the superintendent said that he would let us put a well. That has a lot of complications because the Old River Middle School there, at the top of the exhibit that I prepared for you, we would need to actually hire a stormwater engineer to come up with a design, to regrade the basin, and then submit that to the county, go through the process with them, and get the approval of the adjacent property owners that have the right and actually have an easement in the basin area for them to drain their property. Very complicated. I'd rather not go down that road because we could spend a lot of money and end up at zero. But I'm just sharing with you what we've looked at. And then there's next to the school, there's a parcel about 22 acres owned by Avari. I spoke to them, it's a bit of a partnership, and they said that they're not interested in selling us a half an acre there. I will say it's actually a pretty good site because there is a water main right there in the street. There is electrical. I spoke to Gregory. He actually hooked into that electrical for their pump station for the detention basin we talked about. So the utility costs at that site might be a lot lower even than Cypher Park or Pantages, most definitely lower than Pantages. You could take that parcel by with eminent domain. I've been through that before. It can be done. It just takes time. But Pantages, I still think, would be the best option to pursue. Next to the Avari parcel was about a 5-acre parcel, again, north of the school. Travis Thornton, he lives in Brentwood, called him up. He said not interested in selling the town a half an acre. East Bay Mud, just south of the school, they're not interested in giving us half an acre. Then there's Tessa's Country Kitchen. You may have seen her building there by Bixler, where she has 10 acres there. She wants to open a farm-to-table type restaurant. County says you can't give you a permit for that, but they are working on possibly changing permit requirements to allow her to do that. She's worried if she gives us a half an acre, it's going to hurt her in the future for opening her farm table. So, again, we could do eminent domain on that, but if the town wants to do eminent domain, I would think the Avari site would be a better site for eminent domain because I think the utility costs would be a lot cheaper there. And then there's, so those are all the sites that I've looked at and spoken to people. So what we'd like to do is just let you know that we want to continue talking to the county about Cypher Park, but also work with Pantages on possibly having a joint project there, get the well there. And we should know something more. They said they would like to meet with us middle to last part of October.
So do we have any kind of a window for when we expect welding to begin? You know, I've been on the board for 3 years. For 3 years, we've talked about it.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Well, let's assume that Pantages, that they get to go and they start grading their site, say, a year from now. Okay? Let's say that that's the schedule that they have. And we have an agreement that we'll go ahead and design the well to go in there. We can get Justin going on the design, knowing that's going to happen. And then when they come in and do all the grading, they grade our site as well. So then we can start construction, say, shortly after that. So let's say 18 months from now with Pantages to start doing some construction out there.
So we're not in any pressure to get a well aid up.
The only reason we're not in pressure is because people are still in conservation mode from the drought. Justin has told me if people were using the water demand that we had pre-drought, we would be hurt.
I see that, but it just seems as though the pattern has been set in.
Right. If we were in pre-drought demands, I'd be sitting here telling you we need to condemn the Avari property now to get the project going now.
All right, good.
Yeah, we have it budgeted for construction in 2021.
2021?
Good.
Good. Good. Good. Good. Good. Good. Good.
Good. Good.
That's good. Good. Anything else?
No, just do you think you concur with those two projects, continue with Slifer and also work with Pantages?
If we went with Slifer, they're looking for a
we're still questioning them on that.
But where would we have a quarter of an acre we can give? Do we have anything?
Not adjacent to the park, which
what
is going to be.
What about Plan 1?
Sure, behind Plan 2.
We don't. I talked about putting a half acre.
I got a half acre in Plan 2 we can give them.
That's exactly what I told. Right, we'll put a half acre behind Plan 2. The issue is I think what's going to take place is they're going to want it contiguous to the park because that park is a residential park. And if you take a half an acre, it's taking a half an acre away from those residents that are in that zone.
That's true.
And so they will want it contiguous, and we have no land
I was going
to
say
do that.
Say,
can't
if,
get when you don't
you
have.
Plant one, maybe you can turn it into a park.
Yeah, but that still would be contiguous and solve probably the major issue of this. So that's what we're dealing with, trying to pin that down.
Good. No, I think it's good. Discussion has been ongoing for years now, and it just feels like the momentum's picking up a bit.
But do you feel comfortable with the recommendation to continue looking at both Slifer and Pantages?
I think Slifer is a great spot. Technically, I know when Virgil was here, there was advantages to different locations and disadvantages and backup and other technicality. And so the Slifer would meet all of those requirements, and if you go all the way out to Avari.
Avari, further north.
You go all the way out, does that take away some of those advantages?
No, it's
more
a good location.
It
might be better.
Okay.
Because a Slifer, you have to build several hundred feet of pipeline to connect.
The more you ask and the more you talk about it, at some point somebody comes up, raises their hand, so I've got an idea, and they give you a hand or they do something, and it just falls into your lap.
We haven't had that experience yet.
Well, Pantages might be that experience.
That's true, Pantages. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
For permission, most of the water is that way now.
Okay. And if Pantages comes in, you're like...
Yeah, because they're more in the middle north part of the town, which is great. But Avari is pretty good, actually, because that's where you need the water.
Pantages could work out really good, because I know Chief Helmick worked a real deal with the Nunn group that's trying to do that permanent limit line, the new Measure L, and ended up with $11 million towards a new fire station and equipment, so beat that. Okay, thanks, Mike.
You guys.
Future discussion items? I have none. Okay, thanks. Adjourned.